Welcome in. In this lesson, we're building a smoky, warehouse-ready re-smid base in Ableton Live 12, designed for jungle, old-school DNB, rollers, and darker break-sled tunes. The big idea here is simple. We are not trying to make the loudest bass possible. We are trying to make a bass that feels thick, unstable, a little toxic, and very DJ-friendly. It should breathe with the drums, leave room for the snare and break edits, and still carry that foggy room pressure that makes a DNB drop feel alive. So think of this bass as having two jobs. The first job is sub-weight. The second job is movement and attitude in the mid-range. If you get those two roles separated properly, the whole mix gets cleaner and heavier at the same time. Let's start by creating a new MIDI track and loading an instrument rack. Inside that rack, make two chains. One chain is your sub, the other is your re-smid layer. On the sub chain, load operator. Set oscillator to a sine wave, keep it mono, and make sure it follows your bass notes exactly. If you want to be extra strict, put a utility after operator and set the width to 0% so the low end stays locked in the center. The sub should be boring in the best possible way. Stable, clean, and solid. Now on the re-smid chain, load wave-eatable. Start with a saw-based sound or something similarly simple. The point is not fancy source material. The point is controllable movement. Put this layer an octave or two above the sub range so it lives in the mid-bass zone, not down in the sub. Already, this split is doing a lot of work for you. In DNB, if you let the re-zone the low end, the mix gets muddy fast. The break starts fighting the bass, the snare loses punch, and suddenly the whole track feels crowded. Keep the sub simple and let the re-smid carry the personality. Now let's build that re-smid movement. On wave-eatable, add a small amount of unison, maybe 2 to 4 voices. Keep the detune subtle, around 5 to 15%. You want beating and motion, not a giant glossy cloud. If it starts sounding like a modern super saw lead, back it off. We want smoky and underground. After wave-eatable, add auto filter. Set it to a low pass 24 slope. And start the cutoff somewhere around 200 to 600 Hz depending on how dark you want the tone. Add just a touch of resonance, enough to give it some edge, but not enough to scream. This is where the re-smid starts feeling alive. Use slow modulation on that filter cutoff. If you can, sync the movement to 1/2 bar or 1 bar so it drifts in a long, hypnotic way. That slow movement is a huge part of the old-school jungle vibe. It should feel like the sound is breathing in the room, not wobbling for attention. If you want a little more width and shimmer, add chorus ensemble very lightly after the filter. Keep the mix low. We are not washing the sound out. We are just giving it some extra motion around the edges. Think texture, not obvious effect. Now it's time for character. On the re-smid chain, insert saturator first, then roar if you want more aggression, and then EQ8. With saturator, start gently. A few dB of drive is often enough. Turn soft clip on if needed. The idea is to give the bass some upper harmonics, so it can be heard on smaller systems and through dense breakbeats. If it starts getting brittle or harsh, pull the drive back. Roar is great here, if you want a more active, modern kind of grit while still keeping the sound musical. Use it carefully. We want heat and pressure, not fuzz overload. Let it emphasize the low mids and mids where the re-smid gets its attitude. Then use EQ8 to clean things up. If the re-smid is getting too heavy in the bottom, hike ass it gently somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz. If the sound starts getting fizzy in the top mids, cut around 2.5 to 5 kHz. And if it feels boxy or cloudy, dip a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. That 150 to 400 Hz zone is important. It's where smoky can turn into cardboard very quickly, so listen closely there. Now let's write the MIDI. This kind of bass works best when it phrases like a real part of the record, not just a loop that plays forever. Start with a simple two-bar idea. Use one or two notes first. Leave space. Let the drums breathe. A strong starting pattern might be this. A long root note on the first bar, then a short answer note later in the phrase, maybe on the end of three. On the second bar, move to the fifth or the octave for a call and response feeling that gives the bass a sense of conversation without making it too busy. Remember, in jungle and old school DNB, the bass often answers the drums. It doesn't need to dominate every space. In fact, the most effective bass lines usually feel more powerful because of what they leave out. A short note can hit harder than a louder note if it creates more room for the drums. Try using note length as an effect. Shorter notes can create aggression and punch just by tightening the envelope. If the groove feels too full, don't immediately add more processing. First try shortening the notes or creating a small mute before a snare fill. That alone can make the whole thing feel tighter and more intentional. Now let's talk stereo discipline, because this is where lav basses fall apart. Keep the sub fully mono. Keep the res layer controlled. You can widen the res a bit with utility, maybe somewhere around 70 to 120%, but do not widen the low end. If the bass sounds huge in headphones but disappears on a system, the width is carrying too much of the sound. Check the bass in mono often. That's not optional. If the sound collapses when you sum it to mono, you need less width and more solid core tone. In club music, especially DNB, mono compatibility matters a lot more than a flashy stereo trick. Now we'll make this useful as an FX instrument too, because that's where the lesson gets extra powerful. Add some controlled atmosphere with echo and reverb, but keep both of them restrained. Short to medium reverb decay, low wet mix, and filtered echo repeats work great here. You want the bass to feel like it's echoing through a warehouse, not floating in a pad cloud. A really good workflow is to automate the low pass filter over time. Start with the bass dark in the intro, then open the cutoff on the drop. You can even close it back down slightly after a few bars to create a second wave of tension. Those tiny automation moves are what keep the loop feeling alive. Use end tracks or an audio effect rack if you want more control over the atmosphere. That way your dry bass stays solid while your effects tails can be managed separately. This is especially useful for filter delays on the last note of a phrase, or for little reverse style transitions into the next section. Now for one of the most useful old-school techniques, resampling. Bounce your res riff to audio and work with the waveform. This opens up a lot of creative options. You can chop tiny gaps into it, reverse a tail, nudge a pitch slightly, or create a stutter before a drop. Once it's audio, it starts feeling more like a manipulated performance and less like a static preset. That kind of resampled detail adds a lot of character to jungle and warehouse DNB. It makes the track feel hand-built. It also gives you easy transition tools for intros, fills, and reload moments. When you place the bass against your drums, keep listening for space. If the kick and sub are fighting, fix that first. If the snare is getting masked, shorten the bass notes or move them away from the snare transient. If the break and bass are crowding each other, simplify the bass rhythm instead of stacking more layers. That's a big mindset shift in this style. When the arrangement feels busy, remove notes before adding more layers. A cleaner line often sounds heavier because the drums have room to hit. If you want a more advanced variation, try a second res chain that is a little brighter and wider, blended quietly under the main one. Then automate the balance between the two across different sections. That way the riff stays the same, but the mood changes from intro to drop to breakdown. Very effective, very musical. You can also map velocity to cutoff or drive so ghost notes feel softer and more shadow-like. That's a nice touch if you want more human phrasing. Another option is a quiet parallel grit layer with bandpass filtering and heavy saturation, mixed in very low. That gives you extra attitude without wrecking the core sound. For arrangement, think in sections. Intro can be filtered and distant. Drop 1 can be dark and round. The next variation can have a little more drive and width. Then the breakdown can thin out, add more echo, and remove the sub for tension. That section-based evolution keeps the tune moving even if the riff stays the same. Let's recap the core formula. First, split the bass into sub and mid layers. Keep the sub mono and clean. Second, build a moving res with subtle detune, filtering, and restrained modulation. Third, add saturation for harmonics, not chaos. Fourth, phrase the MIDI like a real DNB record, with space, call and response, and purposeful note lengths. Fifth, use automation and effects to create movement across the arrangement. And sixth, resample when you want extra old-school character and control. If you get the balance right, this res will feel heavy, dark, and alive. It will sit under a breakbeat without fighting it. It will leave room for the snare, but still fill the room with pressure. That is the sweet spot for smoky warehouse jungle flavor DNB. For your practice, spend 10 to 20 minutes making a 2-bar smoky res drop loop. Use operator for the sub, wave eatable for the res. Add saturator and EQ8. Automate the cutoff over 8 bars, and include one FX moment like a delay throw or a reversed resample. Then test it in mono, against a breakbeat, and with a snare on 2 and 4. If the loop still feels strong after you strip away the extra tricks, you've got the core of a proper DNB res system. Alright, let's get into it and make this bass breathe.